interrupting the current neo-Ukrainian climate challenge, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 561. We continue and continue, and I hope we're going to continue for a long time. We've worked real hard. Some folks are working behind the scenes to make RLM continue and be better. And I can announce we're going to go at least a week early here. We need to start the donation drive. We would normally do it on February. We're going to start a little bit earlier than that. And if you can jump in, we have some bills to cover. But now, and then most things I think are worked out behind the scenes. I have my access back to the FTP. We had a little bit of a scare on the network that got fixed, so that got straightened up, and competent people are working that through. The future is looking very bright. I don't have all the information to divulge. I think we're going to see some advancements through reallibertymedia.com, and I hope you can be part of that. There's a couple ways you'll be able to participate in this in the future. I'll let that out when I get understanding about it more and we have the facility. Things are getting worked on really well. The distribution channels are being opened up quite a bit. So if you could step forward, those that can, donate, go to the website, look for the donation button. I think I saw one on the right-hand side of the front page, reallibertymedia.com. And donate what you can in cash, and we'll get the bills paid like we normally do. Just Grimner would pay it up front, and then we'd kind of cover it over, and my listenership and those that would stumble upon us would cover those bills for us. And I thank you very much to keep this word going out. And I believe there's going to be a bigger push to get more hosts now back. And so we'll see what happens. I'm encouraged all the hard work that's been put in, trying to make this thing work and not lose it, because it was getting very close to being lost here in this last few months. So if you could step over to the donation button, support RLM, I think it is, the support reallibertymedia.com. And I think it'll take you over to PayPal for those of you that can do that. And I think you'll see the name Sound Minds on it. So go ahead. That's who you're going to be donating to get the bills paid. And this has all been worked out now. It was getting very sketchy for a little bit. I'm really a bit excited in a way that we don't have that darkness over the network. So appreciate all the support. Everyone that jumped in when I had my FTP problem and not being able to put the broadcast together, thank you for jumping in with that donation and support. I really do appreciate that. And again, there's going to be other ways, I think, distribution-wise, you can contribute if you don't have money at all, but you may have a system access or internet access. That's all in the future. So I'm looking forward to being able to continue. I hope I've been fighting really hard to be able to continue to broadcast with my hardships, and we'll just see continue as best we can. Like anybody that stepped up now in the last few weeks is really dedicated to what my work is about, and more importantly for the network, what Grimner was attempting to do, getting it forward and getting a lot of content, making it a place for people to speak and communicate, but as importantly, to be able to get the word out and not be censored. And one of the things that I'm excited about in looking through what's coming up potentially and probably really soon, if it all continues to work out, is almost an unstoppable condition relative to any content that gets on the network. It's going to be a very interesting new system being put in place, and I hope that works through. The censorship, in fact, I got the notice while I was talking to somebody, they've removed another BTW RLM 366 on YouTube, just out of the blue. It's from April of 2019, if I got the date right, and that was where I was talking about Behold the Stalking Horse. That was very important information. If you go listen to where they claim that the medical misinformation, this is before there was medical misinformation now. They claim that this was done near the end of the broadcast. And if you look very carefully, you understand here, these censors don't understand context whatsoever. I was talking about the law relative to these swindles and things coming and what they're doing with that, what you might want to do and consider in what the law is there. And they consider it medical misinformation. I'm talking about the law. And so this is a very important problem. And I think this new system coming in place, what I can figure, I went through all the listing of things and vulnerabilities, and it's literally unstoppable at some point. they'd have to find out where all the information is, and it's not going to be in any one spot, and anybody that contributes can be part of that security. So it's not absolutely unknown, the system, but it hasn't been applied, I don't think, this way, and so I'm kind of excited that way. RealLibertyMedia.com becomes a portal for all this, and again, you can contribute to keep the portal running, or eventually you'll be able to contribute to the content preservation as well. So thank you very much for all of you that have been helping and contributed in the past years. We're going to ask you again. I think we're leaning at least around $500 to start here. And I say to start, there may be some infrastructure, if you will, the hardware to advance the system out bigger. It may take another time here, and I don't know when that will be. So we're not asking. I've been asked not to ask for that at this point. I just want you to know that there is some things, some big things coming, and you could be a great help to allow that with your donation. So it's about as much as I want to donate. I'm not a guy to sell it. I hope I understand, in talking with people, you're all interested to make sure this word gets out and preserve it. So that's what we're doing here. That's what Grimner wanted to do, and I think we're furthering his effort, his legacy, and I think we have some people together that'll be faithful to that. So appreciate your help and your donations, whatever you can, and if you have a get in touch. I don't know quite yet how to get in touch with anybody yet, but we'll have maybe a link on the website to get in touch with someone at the network, so that if you have a question about payment that can't go through PayPal, they can handle that as well. So whatever you can do, I appreciate it. I know they appreciate it. They're excited. I'm excited to that extent. I wish I had the ability to do more, but I don't. So I'm going to do what I still can, as I can, and we're going to just kind of push this thing forward. And see what happens. I think the censorship is a big challenge, and I think everybody knows that. And having more and more of my content being taken down years before anything was anything is kind of an interesting view. And so I do appreciate other platforms that are up, and we're going to be utilizing a lot of those platforms as people are helping to bring the content forward. So thank you for your past donations. Thank you for whatever you can do this time. And really important thing is get on to the notice of the day. Breaking to me as I'm pulling a broadcast together, so I'm not going to do much of this in depth, although I'm going to talk a little bit about it. I think it's that important. It's almost, I sense it's historic, what's going on. I'm not sure how it's going to end up, because, again, as you hear me talk, people can know a lot of stuff, but they don't execute it right. Particularly when you're working with the state at all, you see it's not so straightforward. But here we have the breaking news, if you will. It's been building, but I'm just saying it's now, there's someone finally put their foot down. Enough is enough. They're going to make their stand. They have the power to do so. They're a governor of a state. What I will want to caution you to understand, before the pre-Lincolnization, these states were understood to be countries. And so I have an X communication where I put out, what country do you choose? Pick the principle. Don't pick a side. And the countries I'm talking about are the states in pre-Lincolnization. Are we going to be able to push that back there? And I'll read some of this stuff that we're going to see, these stories that are coming up, the press to us, the PSYOP to us. I say read it for the content, but be very careful. Enter as you will, but again, as I say, no jeopardy, and do it the better way than just saying it's time, you know, lock and load type stuff, the boogaloo thing. I don't think, I've been adamant against all that, and I don't think that's going to bring people together anyway. And I think that's what this needs. You need to go opposite what you thought. You don't blow this place up. You actually bring it together, because these people that are causing this trouble that I'll be reading about want to blow it up. That is the future. They don't want anybody united into some mutual protection. Well, we'll read now. Border standoff escalates into constitutional crisis after Biden messes with Texas. Don't mess with Texas. The feds have messed with Texas, folks, I've been telling you, since after the Civil War, and the country and Texas's capitulation to the federal rule through the military district called the State of Texas. Go back and read. I read the documents relative to Texas in particular, because that was a standout, but not after the capitulation. And it's sort of like, if you look, it has this air, it's sort of like the State of Israel domination over the of the feds over the Texas. And here the Supreme Court may have, and everyone's angry about this, but I think the Supreme Court recognized that the militarily enforced usurpation without fanfare here in their decision relative to allowing the feds to cut the concertina wire, and recognizing also international law at all times. And I've talked about this almost endlessly since I've been broadcasting, so this is not even new. It's kind of fun in a way, but we're looking at a really potentially dangerous time, and I think we can, I've been hoping our people get together, we the people get together, of all persuasions and sides, because they want us divided. They want, and I'm going to show you that you're going to find when you read this, there's even, we might think patriots or conservatives are on one side and Democrats on the other. No, this is pulling everybody together. So I think this is a big advantage already going in, and I think it needs to be exploited, if you will, to the benefit of the people in the countries, not the states of the United States. And the whole thing about the Supreme Court recognized international law, I think they did recognize international law, because, and they didn't want to make any fanfare on this because don't rile the natives. That's just the general thing. Well, they've riled the natives, it seems, for the wrong reason here, but paradoxically for the right cause. And this is very interesting, almost mind-bending type stuff. Because, well, if you listen to my broadcast at any length of time, you realize what we think is going on is really the opposite. It's like looking in a mirror. You're not really looking at what you're looking at. But anyway, we'll read here now this border standoff escalates report, again, from Sputnik, of all places. Find that perspective over there interesting. And we get to look through any potential bias with a clear understanding. We can't do that at home. We don't know what the propagandists are doing to our own people. As I've innumerably pointed out to you relative to the military and cognitive warfare, again, if you didn't understand that a military district was made into Texas was made into a military district, you haven't seen that they've been able to make the servitude, the usurpation, look normal. And that was their job as an occupier, as a usurper. Supreme Court ruled on a narrow 5-4 decision Monday, authorizing federal border agents to remove razor wire fencing set up by Texas authorities on Abbott's instructions. The National Guard troops were earlier deployed to Shelby Park and Eagle Pass, Texas, a community along the Rio Grande River, which has become a major hub of illegal immigration from Mexico and blocked Border Patrol agents from accessing the park. Guard units will continue to, quote, protect the sovereignty of our state, close quote, and hold the line in the Shelby Park to deter and prevent unlawful entry into the state of Texas, close quote, the National Guard said in a statement. Democrats are calling on President Joe Biden to seize control of the Texas National Guard amid Governor Greg Abbott's allegations that the White House has, quote, broken the compact, quote, close quote, between Washington and the states on immigration policy. The controversial court ruling has sparked fears of the major constitutional crisis in the United States, with Abbott issuing a, quote, statement of Texas constitutional right of self-defense, close quote, stressing the state's right to defend itself against an invasion, they put that in quotes too, of illegal immigrants, accusing President Biden of violating or refusing to enforce immigration laws. The authority to defend itself against invasion, quote, is the supreme law of the land and supersedes any federal statutes to the contrary, Abbott wrote. He went on to write, the Texas National Guard, the Texas Department of Public Safety, and other Texas personnel are acting on that authority as well as state law and to secure Texas border, according to the governor. I want you to listen to these and listen to what this guy's doing. I think they're approaching this very well. You'll hear everything I've ever said about how to approach it. You notice he's putting his reasons right there in the same notice, right up front. And they're fairly substantial, what he's doing. And I would say fairly, only to question the fact that, you know, the feds are going to have a question. The Supreme Court's already found against them. And the states are finally, the governor, the power of a governor now over his country, not the state of the United States, but his country, starts to come to bear. And so when he refers back to the Constitution, the original constitutional provisions, he's stepping back through the Lincolnization. And we're going to watch. This is very interesting stuff, actually, going on. And I say historic, I mean this is going to be a big deal And I'm only going to be looking very hard more to see, is someone messing up? Is this a setup? Because I don't trust any of it. I think I might repeat that a few times here. But GOP governors from 25 states rallied behind Governor Greg Abbott in Texas after he said his state's rights to self-defense supersedes, quote, any federal statute to the contrary following Supreme Court ruling allowing federal agents to take down razor wire border barriers put up by state authorities. So how is it that the U.S. government supports an occupying force committing genocide under a wrongful claim of self-defense from an invasion of a territory it doesn't have right to, yet the states in the United States of America don't have the right to self-defense from an invasion over territory that they do have the right to and do have a constitutional power to be protected from an invasion? I find these things fascinating, folks. I don't know what it is. What kind of a mess is this all in? Don't mess with Texas. Well, Texas has been messed with, but now you might be finding the right way back. And I'm right way in international law is any way you're going to get away with it in some regard. But you have to do it by the black and white. And I've been telling you how to do that, that to do that. And this is the way this is going. So I'm encouraged. Again, I'm a little dubious at some of this because of the Civil War talk. And we'll get to some of that here as the very in the stream of consciousness that's promoted to us in the news, even through Sputnik. And then you get to thinking, maybe it is the Russians doing some stuff here, but I'm not going to go that far. This is reflecting news from the states here. So we interpret this, I have to say here, we interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special PSYOPS promotion to stir the people to emotional frenzy in this report, saying the question headings, the second U.S. Civil War, right on time, right on purpose, they're going to try to push something here. And I don't think this is the Russians or Sputnik. I'm thinking this has been going on in the States. We're going to see the push. Take note here. We will be witnessing a pivotal moment in history. A letter of support to Texas Governor Abbott in his defiance to the federal regime has been published and signed by governors of half the states in the very disunited United States. I want to add in a question because I couldn't remember. How many states does it take to ratify something and you don't need to have an argument over it in Congress? You just put them together, they ratify it, and now we got another amendment to the Constitution? I don't remember that number, but we're really close to doing that. They can make the right amendment for this. I'm not so sure it's going to happen, but I've got to thinking this is getting very close to where the states just do the amendment they need. Moving on here to look, and I want to remind us, secession was one of the options here as we listen to the second Civil War thing, the promotion of it. The secession was one of the options of the Democratic Podesta Hitler Clinton's campaign manager wargaming in the Transition Integrity Project, if you remember, if Trump were to not exit the office, and as applicable to the West Coast secession if he does get back in office. Very interesting setup for that. We can read further in this report. In view of the speed and intensity with which this dispute has escalated, there is no telling how far and how fast it could go. Of course, there is one alternative that could satisfy both sides and avoid confrontation, but Biden and his masters have, so far at least, proven too stupid or pernicious to accept. This situation is a powder keg waiting for a spark, just as the Maidan in Ukraine was 10 years ago. Once you listen to the propaganda going here and trying to evoke in people a consistency of rebellion and armed rebellion, and I'm advocating you don't lead with that. We'll keep going, and I'll try to discuss that as we go. Here the author goes with the question, the second U.S. Civil War. But the people of Texas and of the states supporting Texas have much more in common with the people of Donbass than they may realize. Texas fought and won a revolution against a despotic Mexican government, and then for 10 years was its own republic before joining its bigger neighbor to the north, almost exactly as Donbass republics have done. And that almost is a big almost. But at any rate, this is just a statement priming the PSYOPS pump, I think. And so there it is, explaining the country called Texas established a constitutional republic in the pre-Lincolnized period. At that time, these states were called countries. And I think we need to get our mind that countries are the land and the people. We're not talking politics here either. So there's going to be a lot of inferment that has to be, have discernment on this that has to go on. As I look through this, there's a very interesting second dialogue that has to happen. We don't need to put it out there. We just need to understand it. But as an incongruent, they were referring to the Mexican battle there. If you remember, the Alamo was also making the trends on the X and such. I did a quick check on this. I didn't know if my memory was correct, but Wiki, if you go to Wiki, they explain that the war was inspired, that was inspired by the Alamo. The people all over America mobilized to fight was to preserve a border open to immigration and the importation and practice of slavery. What? Yeah, so be careful what part my trigger-fingered friends think they are playing in this segment of the sideshow. This is very interesting how times change, folks, and what's really going on. Biden actually wants what people did back then. So we have to have an educated populace of what they actually want to do and what they're going to do. That's why I say if you stay in the black and white, you'd probably be safe. The governor has done that. And now on point here of the mention of the promo of the Civil War 2.0 spreading through the social media and the news, as I mentioned behind the woodshed in the weeks leading up to this broadcast, don't allow yourself to give in to the call for war or secession. That's what the invented red state, blue state PSYOP, the color revolution, is trying to goad the people into. See, wars kill people, don't they? Yeah. And the population reduction crew is all the rage right now, isn't it? Yeah, it's kind of like that. They get us to do our own deed. And I'm asking us to be very careful. I'm not saying back off. I'm saying do this intelligently. Instead of here, the war or division, such as secession, that they're being promoted and adopted by people too, is a focus on the self-protection, self-defense, and mutual aid condition here for you. You'll see it's healthy and consistent in international law as a right. You don't have to have a constitution to do this. But don't let this get outside of that black and white constitutional establishment. And properly so, the failure of the federal government here in its duty to protect the people through stopping the invasion, the breach of duty of which is an existential threat to the state, including the people. So the state here in the country is the people themselves. So get back into that thought. Those of you that have been doing study in history and what government was and is and what's supposed to be, even though we haven't enjoyed it, open your books up and reorganize yourself and recheck what you know and start to learn to apply it right here. This is going to come into a big importance to my mind on how this. So as you've been listening, have you heard the consistency in this with what I've also advocated more recently with the great Kobe swindle? And now in part because of the Lincolnization of America, that I've said to stay in the black and white and press first the dereliction of duty enumerated in the local communicable disease law, which is causing irreparable harm. And notice Texas Governor Abbott has done that. And so he's at least following something I can understand, at least he's following a method that's been shown to work and flips the burden to the other side, even though he's looking at a Supreme Court decision against him. There may be a reason why it is, and then there's now the question that starts to open up. It really is a constitutional crisis. What's the need of the Supreme Court? When everybody, look, all the people have agreed that they violated the black and white of the Constitution, hadn't explained that, because there is an explanation why they would decide this way, but they haven't explained that why, because they don't want to rile the people even worse. So we look good as we approach the story and read more in this promo. This condition is in fact reported early on Friday. The Border Patrol union said that its federal agents will not arrest Texas National Guard members for following their lawful orders. Rank and file border agents quote appreciate and respect close quote Texas's actions, the statement said. So in the end turn of this, there's not going to be an outright fight. They don't want to get into that. And I don't know, I think they know they're not going to be able to make the good position. It's like the Biden regime, and it could have been anybody, but this is where it's coming. This is the time they're making all the wrong decisions. And I said, when they have someone that's not doing a duty you can identify, it's real easy to get them out of their position really fast. It's like I've been explaining. Recognizing the orders of the state recognizing that the orders of the state are lawful is a very big issue here for a federal agency to say that too. So don't underestimate the subtle power here of what's going on. You know, what is actually, we have a lot of stuff, you know, bluster going on, but there may be some very substantial things that have already been decided, that the give and take of all this. And again, it's a little, I'll just maybe throw this out here at this point. It's the consent of the governed as well. Even as you see, look at Gaza. I said, America is just an open-air prison like the Palestinians. What the Palestinians go and do is kind of our thing too. And you're looking at instead of an Israel that will destroy you, you're looking at a federal government that knows that maybe it can't, or it will be such a mess that it's not worth it. And they'll work out other ways to finally get you to capitulate again, a different way. But as I've already seen here, what bothers me a bit, I've seen so many people referencing how many arms will descend upon the border to protect it from invaders and from Washington, D.C. and the Biden regime. And that's fair enough, I suppose, but I don't give in to that fabricated red-blue spring from division to war. Be much more intelligent on how this works out. Don't lead with your arms. And I don't mean with those with your elbows. With the right you have to bear those arms, believe. Because believe me, that military knows those are there. They don't disregard that themselves. They've planned about this. So lead with the principle instead. You always hold back the last resort for you. And we aren't there yet. As soon as you saw the capitulation of the federal government, for whatever reason, and whatever diabolical thing they might be trying around in time or whatever, you have the momentum now. Use that. Don't use your lead to paper, better than out of the barrel of a gun right now. And in our ex-Twitter interaction, I think it was, I'm trying to remember here, when I called red-blue motivation into question, I was responding to Gary L's response to somebody else on ex-Twitter. And Gary L responded when I pointed out this red-blue motivation, be careful, don't fall into that. He responded that fairly enough so here, that it's really should be focusing on restoration, not separation. So happy to hear Gary's consistent. We kind of have like minds on all this anyway, but it's, you know, there's a big deal going on, and I don't want to see when you have the right big deal going and it's in the right momentum in the right direction, notwithstanding my distrust of some of this, we have our mind correctly. We move forward with the proper mind, not just willy-nilly because it's an exciting thing to do because we're so darn bored in the world anymore. But as I've said here, mutual defense, not division. And there are Democrats and other liberals who support protecting the several countries of the United States of America, though they may not speak it in those words. You'll see them on the internet. They're making videos now. People are joining up around this issue. Join with them. Don't make any division. Stay strictly inside the organic establishment and the failed duties or undertakings. And you'll see that as an undertaking that the government did in establishing itself, the federal government. And most important of all, keep your powder dry. This is going to be a critical element. I see so many people wanting to promote that. Believe me, the feds know that's there. In fact, that's what has helped cause our problem. They call you extremists now. They've identified you so they can out you. So you've got to come in with a protection that's unassailable. And I think we just saw the first blink. I don't see it's the end of the war. It's the first blink where the agents of the Border Patrol are saying, we will honor the lawful orders and we will not enter in. That's admitting impliedly those orders are lawful. There has to be a basis then for them. So mark up for Greg Abbott, mark up for anybody that comes in mutual protection of that border segment. My problem, I look at the map, you'll see the map on this page, California, Arizona, and New Mexico have not yet, at least by this map, underwritten this protection. And so we have a little gap where the immigrants can still be running in, and the fentanyl and the cartels and all. So it's not over quite yet. Happy to see misery finally close one of the passageways up through the north in the breadbasket when they finally agreed to support Greg Abbott as well. But again, we have a little bit of a capitulation where the federal government has, agents have said they're going to no longer be removing that razor wire that Texas established, and Texas then therefore has won this dispute with the federal government, it's, the reports are, and the federal government is now seriously undermined, and this is a big deal right here. As I was saying, the Supreme Court authority has just really put us under in a way, but what are they going to do with this? So we'll see, won't we? We'll see how this works, and we just got to keep a cool head. Do what we need to do, but keep a cool head. As I said, the work that needs to be done is not over. Even so, even if they've capitulated a bit here, use this serious undermining to withhold the consent of the governed in all other problem areas. So, some of which I've mentioned here earlier already, some has to be fleshed out and put forward. This is the time. This is one of those things that works in our favor. Interestingly, too, it's coming into an election period, and another dubious thing. Someone's going to be exalted for this, and he's taking the right positions around it, and I don't know that it's like he's the less of all the evils, and you can't really see it quite yet, and so I'm just cautious about it, but use this momentum, use the timing, start looking ahead. People need to get together, start working this out. If they ever had a thought of being free, not living underneath these servitudes that are coming on and planned and proving themselves out, this is one of those opportunities to start, and don't walk to the steps and then walk away, right? Or don't walk up in the steps and walk in and be told that you're an insurrectionist. No, do it a little bit better, a lot better, actually. So understand here, this is not just about the border. They want you to think it is, but consider well what's at stake and prepare now to follow through as the governed begin to withhold consent to the tyranny imposed by the more perfect union as well. The active surrogate control here of the federal funding to the states that makes the states subject. You saw that in COVID swindle is all in spades, and the fiat currency underpinning this in general, the whole thing. People need to work to extract themselves from at least those few, and there's quite a few more. Again, the cancer that we're suffering is metastasized. It's throughout every country, if we go back to the pre-Lincolnization. So there's a lot more here to say. Some of the such as the meaningless here now, the Supreme Court becomes the bar agents, usurpers. They have to be. Before they get in, they're not necessarily with the Bar Association when they get to the Supreme Court in the office, but they are to get there. So these people are of that mind, and I've talked about this over and over. That's another problem. They're showing that they can't keep up. When push comes to shove, actually, or authority is shown for what that it has no authority. So, but there's so much more here to talk about. Just don't have the time. But so I'll leave this here, and we'll have to observe how this episode called Operation Lone Star, to the production tune of $2 billion, washes out in the Rio Grande. And I'm not trusting much of this. And then there's those plot twists that will come along in the Kabuki Theater. Or the part with the audience participation where it becomes the Rocky Horror selfie show. And I'm not talking Bullwinkle here. This, again, don't get engaged like a cartoon. This is a historic stuff. Let's stand up. Let's meet the challenge, if you will. Will we get it back? I don't know. It's up to us. Do the people know what it is that they want back? Think ahead, folks. A lot of you know it's just a matter of getting it put in practice. We're not in practice. And this may be the last opportunity at all for a long time, if ever again, to be able to get this stuff moving, get this stuff invoked into a power that the government itself, the federal government, even the state government, when you get down to the power of the people, they're not going to be able to change so easily. They can't easily fix. They can't just alter things that are written that have been acknowledged for hundreds and so of years, that are stone, in stone. We heard that the Constitution is just a piece of paper. okay, well, let's put force in effect, and it's not. And you use that just piece of paper as the guiding, the guidance, the foundation. That's why the black and white, relying upon it right now, is so important. Like I've been telling everybody, start doing that, getting practiced at what we're doing with that. So the second U.S. Civil War is a question. We can avoid it. We have the power to change that. This article is a neat promo for that. It came right in time. But we'll return you now to your scheduled broadcast, Behind the Woodshed, as I'll also leave you some links as to two links to those conversations I had. You can go back up through the links when I'm talking with Gary L. I just made a quick comment. I just want to make notice that we don't, and he's of the same idea. Don't make a division. Don't keep fomenting that. Bring a restoration of the government we thought we had that abandoned us, that didn't protect us anyway when they did all these other things I mentioned earlier. But now we move into here, and speaking of occupiers invading territory without right in the black and white of self-defense, but also having an obligation and duty to protect. International Court of Justice orders Israel to take all measures to prevent genocide in Gaza Strip. The United Nations International Court of Justice has ordered Israel to take urgent measures to allow humanitarian aid into the Gaza Strip. We'll see whether this lawless criminal supported by the Brandon regime will comport to basic morals and principles, even the oxymoron law of war, which recognizes these humanitarian things. Think how heinous these folks are. Think about the occupying regime being supported by another occupying regime and not recognizing all this. Think about how they treat the states different than this occupier. It's fascinating what's going on in our witness anymore in our lives. But here, Israel must take all necessary measures to prevent all acts that fall under the Genocide Convention, said Joan Donahue, president of the UN International Court of Justice. And did you hear the hesitation? Must. Must here is not too encouraging, where shall is required, and this portends a weakness in this order. Or is this the evidence of the window dressing showing the ICJ complicit in the oppression and the ongoing genocide, in only speaking to the prevention while ignoring other war crimes and international law and agreement breaches? Now we could read, the court also ordered Israel authorities to take action against those who incite genocide and ordered Israel to report back in a month on the implementation of the measures, it said. That would include the United States, wouldn't it? Would it preclude the U.S., would this action, this order, preclude the United States using its veto power in the U.N. Security Council to enforce the implementation of the order? To continue the genocide found needing to be prevented, which authorized this order? But listen to very carefully what they said. It's to prevent genocide, not that they found genocide. I said there was a must, there wasn't a shall. And so what about all the other countries, if people that helped the genocide, what about all the other countries giving recognition to the Zionist Federation movement deception here under color of the so-called State of Israel from 1947? And I've talked about this a couple broadcasts, but all these nations are in on it. They're all part of the conspiracy. This could be very interesting for the Palestinians, who, it is reported, said they welcome the decision of the ICJ on the situation in Gaza Strip, as it was made in favor of humanity. Foreign Minister Raed Malki said. I just looked at that. That's it? That's all they're asked? That's all they think it's for, in favor of humanity? Not also for the protection of Palestine or their self-determination? Little hiccups here and there just don't make this a follow-through for me. And yet the Palestinians have a power now, even in the ability for somebody else that's recognized in the world to even observe that they have a right to not be obliterated. So we'll see where this goes. I was encouraged. Again, all these folks, I don't have much. Just looking for anything to hang your fingernails on to climb through. Does the rest of the world recognize it? That's how partly how I look at all this. We don't see much action in the media action going, maybe more evidence that the Yemenis, the Houthis did. And you saw, they didn't take much. Not much of a country. It's the poorest country in the whole world, and it stops all of the commerce. They did something. So, but when are we going to do something about this? We know that the Zionist Federation is known historically not to follow these orders. So, that was an interesting provision that the ICJ order said, stop anybody who helps incite. That would be the United States in promoting this as well. I'm going to be interested to see how that plays out, or if anybody else starts to press that. And I understand that someone's asked the UN Security Council in order to get it enforced. So we'll see how this plays out. Again, to me, a lot of this is just a show. A lot of this is lip service to actual justice and rights and the people and property. And this is just kicks the can down the road. It's a mechanism to delay, which is injustice. And so this is why I'm dubious of what goes on in the United States, because it is a reflection. There's a mirror reflecting. If international law is working all the time and international law doesn't work, that's a proof that we shouldn't be waiting long on it. But enough on that. Thank you for, it took a little bit longer to say this, but this is important stuff. We see the hypocrisy between the two sides. We see the people can't step up. We see that there is a bit of a capitulation on the federal. It's, you know, 330 million people finally saying no, or half of those saying no, and there's going to be no immediate confrontation, even though there was a threat. The Department of Homeland Security said down there in Texas, you move out, because we want access, and the governor said no. And so here we go. We'll see whether this continuity government nonsense holds up much, even in a post-Lincoln period that's been transformed into a terror state. But here, making these self-determinations, that has now been acknowledged here in Palestine with the Palestinians. We have self-determination in the United States. The people are now starting to say that, notwithstanding the authority of the Supreme Court, the authority of the federal government, and the military of the federal government, something that can interfere with the power of self-determination here. Moving on, a very interesting medical breakthrough I found. I thought I'd begin with this, but the other story took precedent. We'll move into it now. Scientists make Alzheimer's breakthrough. A simple blood test can detect biological markers in the disease 15 years before symptoms develop, researchers say. Scientists have hailed a potentially revolutionary breakthrough in the early diagnosis of Alzheimer's after a team of Swedish researchers found that a commercially available blood test can detect biological markers of the disease about 10 to 15 years before symptoms develop. Alzheimer's, which causes the brain to shrink and its cells to eventually die, is the most common form of dementia and is characterized by a decline in cognitive function as well as a behavior and social skills. In a study of 768 people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s over an 8-year period conducted by the University of Gothenburg, it was found that the test, which detects the presence of tau proteins in blood, was 97% accurate in assessing if a subject was liable to develop the disease. About 1 in 9 people, about 11% or so, of age 65 or over, has the disease, according to the data of the Alzheimer's Association. This is expected to rise substantially in the next 25 years, the group says on its website, quote, barring the development of medical breakthroughs to prevent or cure Alzheimer's disease, close quote. Now, I had known that Alzheimer's disease was due to brain shrinkage, but was said to be amyloid plaques. So, and then we found some recent studies that said those plaques are actually the body's resistance to whatever's going on underneath. So this is a very interesting finding. But to actually see it in the DNA, in a tau protein within the DNA, this is pretty neat. And then I also took note, they said they expect an increase. Why? That implies a cause somehow. Was it jab harm and they're not telling us? Or that some environmental cause creates epigenetic changes? What factors? This should be a direct line now. This is how revolutionary this could be. There's no cure currently that we heard. You'd think now that they'd know that the genetic changes, that they would trace that back to find the environmental cause. That would be a great discovery, and likely better than perpetually prescribing and expensive medicine, avoiding the environmental cause altogether, as medicine, Western medicine, seems to do. I don't know why we've allowed that, but now here, moving on to the euphemism of military intelligence. If not Alzheimer's, then brain dead, actually brainless. ChatGPT creator joins forces with Pentagon. How predictable can I do this behind the woodshed? You know, year before, half a year before. It's written, folks. Just pay attention. We don't need to be behind it. We can be right ahead of this. OpenAI has dropped its prohibition on providing its technology to military entities, according to an executive. ChatGPT creator OpenAI is working with the U.S. military on several artificial intelligence projects after dropping a prohibition on the use of its technology for military and warfare purposes, a company executive told Bloomberg on Tuesday at the World Economic Forum in Davos. What are they all doing there, folks? What's the military doing there, folks? In addition to partnering with the Pentagon for military applications, OpenAI is expanding its operations in the realm of the election security, according to CEO Sam Altman, one-eye Altman, who also spoke to Bloomberg during the Davos conclave. What else, folks? Just as I've been telling you, military cognitive warfare implemented by public-private technocratic partnerships against every population, it seems to me, to plan and method. It even starts with a warm and fuzzy benefit here. The AI is being developed to open source cybersecurity software and discussing how to prevent suicides among military veterans with the U.S. government under color of benefits here. The sentinels are almost upon us, folks, despite or because we live in a world where anything is possible. Right, Neo? Feudal? Surf? And it's said people surf the web. Cowabunga, dudes and dudettes. Amazing how they tie our minds together with all these things. And fighting for more rights than extortion can lead to a deadly business, but someone has to do it, dudes and dudettes here. As I found this little link kind of interesting, in a note, L-D-O-O-D, Police Commissioner Franz Verschwerer, wrote in his diary, 943 L-Dude, meaning Lumumba dead, Lumumba dead. Lumumba's 200 days in the independent Congo were over on January 17th, Lumumba and his associates Maurice Mampolo and Joseph Onkido were forced into a car and driven to a designated spot near the village of Mdingusha, where graves had already been dug. And Gat assembled the soldiers. Tshombe and his ministers stood nearby. Each prisoner was individually placed in front of their grave. Police officer Gat gave the order to the firing squad. Lumumba's turn came last. His final words were, "To you, I have nothing to say." The soldiers threw dirt over their bodies and everyone hurried away. Is that the fate of the people at the hands of the government, dude or dudette's death? For either gender? Shot at warp speed and sent to an early grave? Again, look at the stories, the history of what's going on, what the West will do to people. Even though this is that story about the Congo Republic. This is what I tell you, that it was almost better a republic. They wanted to make themselves better like the United States, and they took this guy out. Lumumba, Prime Minister of the Congo, saying in his famous speech June 30th, 1960, the date of the Declaration of Independence from Belgium 200 days earlier, "We have known that our lands were seized in the name of supposedly legal texts that recognize only the rights of the strongest. We have known that the law was never the same for whites and blacks." I'm talking about the United States as well here, and we'll try to move that forward. That today in the United States, adjusted to benefit everyone, the law is the same for whites and blacks as we've adjusted it as time went on, as the overlords figured it out. We're here now in the post-founding father era under Lincolnization, federal colonization, and military districts called states, i.e. a state of existence, not the several territories in union called countries, the equal rights, wrongful extortions of every kind and no other are for the security of persons and property as is enjoyed by white citizens. You read that right in there, in the open air prison here known as America and unbeknownst to its inhabitants. Well, at least until I started pointing it out. And then it depends on how much study you do around that to see that the truth of it. Think about what's going on in Texas. This is very important stuff. I'm talking out of something that happened in the Congo. In other words, everyone here by this Civil War code is a colored person secured in military prison by this servitude. Even the method of the takeover is not actually much different with the relative players adjusted. Tshombe declared Katanga an independent state. The real reason behind the secession was the discreet backing of the Belgian mining grant giant Union Minerai. I'm not going to get any of these names right. I can see that already. Hey, keep going here. Reed, which promised full support in exchange for mineral rights and even more discreet backing from the American CIA. Lumumba stood in the way of the neocolonial plan. The population would benefit from total decolonization, but not big business. Therefore, he had to be stopped. Who was responsible for the killing of the first prime minister of Congo? The heading of this article, many people wanted his death, starting from the United States President Dwight D. Eisenhower and King Bedouin, and to CIA Chief Alan Dulles and Joseph Mobutu. From the very start, Belgium tried to undermine the Lumumba government, and the U.S. quickly followed. The U.N. ignored the probability of an assassination and did nothing to protect the prime minister. Belgians, and with subtle American help, goaded the Congolese to imprison Lumumba. In the United States of America, the people were goaded by commercial and other forces into imprisoning themselves for the U.S. federal neo-colonial, neo-feudal purposes. Yeah, The Matrix is not a movie. A lot of lessons to be learned from the Congolese condition. You can only touch part of it. This is an interesting story. I hope you get the link. Hope you read through it. This is one of the stories, I don't know, it's just stuck with me for a long time in my life. Just one of those wrongs. And we see the United States government acting just like that against us and the CIA and everybody else, and they profess their white hat. It just doesn't exist anymore, and maybe never has. And the people right now in Texas, and not just because of Texas. As I said, the South should rise again, even if it comes from the West, the East, and the North. We need to do that. There's an idea about that. Remember, you read, everyone wants to say, remember the Alamo. Well, at that time, they wanted open borders, and they wanted to do it for slavery. I'm not saying that part. The South connotes a whole different metaphor than what has been promoted. And that was the independence of producers as well. And I have a little bit of understanding about that. I don't talk too much about it. And again, it's interesting when you have an understanding of a place, and then you see how it's reported, and then you now come to the point when you realize media and bias and prejudice, then it starts to turn your whole understanding about things. That Congo story, you can almost read the United States put right in there. And see that the United States government's integral with the destruction of places. That leaders from which they want to do better for their own people. They really were on it, more honest. I say more. I don't know about the corruption that we don't know about. But here, moving through, and I guess this became the Civil War things, slavery, putting people into servitude and things. Another Russian Today promotion for Sovietism, as I read this one. My listener ought to read this article and carefully notice a big anomaly in Lenin's understanding. And this is where, again, you're reading with the learn to discern, learn how to read. Have some history in you that's as good as you can find it. I say, if you can, go to the source documents, read that stuff for yourself. It doesn't seem to go away. Probably because you start realizing how shocking it is, and that's what sticks with you as well. But here's a hint when we go through this. He mentions the Civil War in this reflection entitled Wage Slavery here, and goes on. But another hint here, he was duped by the propagandists that the capitalists didn't win and bring far more than wage slavery to the American people, which his speech embraces as a good thing. Listen very carefully what's going on. Even Lenin didn't quite get it, for as aware as you might think some of these people are slavery of the American people was, again, wages. Wager is a bet. We got to see these things. It's interesting how to twist this. Not twisting it so much, but to try and adjust the actual meaning when you see the euphemisms that are being used to tell us things. Soviet capitalism says that, own nothing and be happy under the thumb of your bureaucratic overloads. But it seems Lenin, too, never read the equal rights here in the United States, unless he did. And then we can apply that, too. So remember, equal rights was the exaction, extortions of every kind by your government. You're subject to that government. They presume that subjectivity. You're a slave to the rights, to the exaction. Wage slavery is just a part of it. So understand that we can believe things that ain't so. And I started to realize that about myself, particularly after reading the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. I said I could be misled and buy into that. And that may not be a good thing. We need to really be intelligent about how we go. We need to be doing our due diligence. So if he did read, and if so, why Putin also follows the more modernized, Sovietized, global gulag gambit, most popularly known as sustainability goals and the things that the SMART, but not too intelligent here by the people themselves, and completely acceptable international law method to usurp the constitutional republic. The slaves, not knowing they are slaves, wage or otherwise, is the best way to control a slave. So thanks, Lenin, for those heads up about 100 years ago. When you read this story, it's pretty interesting, the insights. But look at it as a promotion of Soviet. It's not Russia today, but it's the Soviet. It's what's been brought up. But no one listened to, and then, apparently, and embraced civil rights here during the Civil War before, and made the more perfect union, not for the people, the federalized, Sovietized slave master, the capitalist so-called. And their human capital was what it was for. Again, they come out with MasterCard, and we all rush to grab one. So too much here, really, to go through. Lenin was interesting. Everybody did their political slant. They all produced their own political, supported their political foundation. And it's hard to, sometimes when they use euphemisms, it's hard to see that maybe one nation is really doing the same thing. Or one thing, one nation has changed into the same thing as another, that we may condemn. We're told to condemn them, so we do. So, being a politician here, this article is a bit long-winded. It's a restatement of what he said, and on the Soviet promo, but very interesting to read nonetheless. For those keeping their thinking cap on, I think it's very important. And I give us lessons. The best legendary deception here. All we have is just enough truth to promote the deception. We keep wanting to buy, they speak into what we think we believe, and it's not really been a propaganda to us the whole time. We've literally been mind controlled until we really break free of that. So see if you can find these, the truths within his letter, but also how they support either his lack of understanding or his promotion of his own propaganda in his own cultural norms. And then look to see that's not much different than we have here, or what you see sustainability goals being foisted upon us. That's why I called it the Soviet for so long. It has nothing to do with Russia. It's a way of doing this. When we read this wage slavery to a handful of multimillionaires, Vladimir Lenin's letter to America workers on the 100th anniversary of the death of Vladimir Lenin, RT republishes his legendary article addressed to U.S. citizens. And I found it amazing, even though I don't consider myself a U.S. citizen. It's a status. So you start putting all these together. It's fascinating what they knew back when, what they picked up, what they didn't talk about, and what we suffer today as people, and partly what brings up what goes on down south and what the Supreme Court said that people railed against, because it's just wrong, generally, but that's not the state you live in. And so that's maybe more of the truth, what's going on. And once we figure that out, we may not feel so put aside, emotional about it. We'll say, well, that's just wrong, and we're going to end it. Enough's enough. Consent of the governed is withheld. Done. And do it, and impose that. So here, the wage slave, the bringing you into human capital, I've talked about all that. Clinton's did that. The cradle to grave, all that sits there right over the United States already. Lenin was doing nothing, and it all started back when, in Lincolnization of the United States of America. And I may even have backwards, during with the treaties and such with the king. The United States may have been the states, I can't remember now, and the United States of America was the entity that was going to be Washington, D.C. Some of you can do some research to back that up. Look at that, prove that out. It's important to get the difference. Right now, it's not important for our discussion, but that occurs to me to say. See, there's a whole lot of flipping and flopping going on. You got to really keep track of all that. As I tried to show you when I was reading the documents about Texas, but as to the cheapening of life, the human capital, the getting efficiency is getting more from you, letting you give more for more free, more taxation, letting you work for nothing. That's efficient. That's economically efficient. Nothing about you. It's the capitalist, so-called. The capitalist is a thing, using a thing in the world, not a debt. So watch that, too. But as to the cheapening of life, when I was reading last week about Gonzalo Lira, if you don't think that's important, his murder by Ukraine, the government isn't a big deal of all. If you're not thinking that's a big deal, then of all the things that Russia could bring up in the UN Security Council meeting last week, Gonzalo's case made the list. You don't think this is big stuff. And partly why I mentioned it, other than I didn't, again, it was wrong what happened to him. And then to have the American taxpayer paying for it, no, that's just out, got to be done. That's one of the things on the list as well. Not just for him, for everybody like him. And Julian Assange steps up as well. Blood of killed Donetsk civilians on those sending weapons to Kiev. Ukrainian forces deliberately attacked purely civilian targets, Russian Minister Sergei Lavrov said while addressing the UN Security Council meeting. U.S. turns blind eye to the death of American journalists in the Ukraine prison. Western officials, including those in the United States, lacked the courage to comment on the death of the United States citizen Gonzalo Lira. This is very cutting stuff here. And he's telling the truth, and they didn't, and they're not going to. Quote, he says, has anyone in the West, especially the United States or any officials, said anything about his death? No, Lavrov said. And the Western delegation today and the representative of the Kiev regime will probably not find the courage to comment on this or other outrageous crimes by Zelensky and his colleagues. So why might that be? And consider what I was saying last week about why. This is very interesting what they're pointing out here. Conflict in Ukraine, just business for the U.S., Lavrov says, and compares the U.S. position on military funding to Ukraine to a profitable business project. And haven't I exposed that to you? Maybe others, too. I don't know. I don't read anybody. But with you hear BlackRock getting involved and the other financial interests trying to take their part, making deals before they even know that Russia's not going to go end up taking the whole place. Very interesting dynamic here. He goes on to say, Mr. Blinken, the U.S. Secretary of State, focuses on the fact that the continuing assistance to Ukraine is a guarantee of creating jobs in the United States. As if this is not about financing a war that has claimed hundreds of thousands of lives in Ukraine, but about some kind of profitable business project. Lavrov said. He recalled that a striking example of U.S. entrepreneurial activity in Ukraine is the acquisition by the structures of the businessman George Soros of the Black Earth Soils for the disposal of waste from the Western chemical industry. Boy, this guy just gets around. So remember last week, the CIA documents released that they did, exposing the 1953 Nazification of Ukraine, naming Soros for doing things and printing T-shirts, doing propaganda and all that. Yeah, this is all kind of like that, folks. Kind of like that. He goes on to say, most of the large Ukrainian factories and companies, including lithium production, were sold to the Americans. Fertile soil was leased to them for an indefinite period, as we say, at a cheap price. And here we have, we can then see, he mentions the lira and the murder was at here, the cheap price that lira paid, not even valuable enough for the United States Department to care or comment on, and why this is something we cannot really let go. Your life is that cheapened, the federal government looks at you that you're that cheap. You're dispensable, absolutely dispensable. Now, that wasn't what you were told when you were brought up in school, relative to how important the people are. You're supposed to be at the pinnacle, but we're not. And that's proof right there. And Lavrov points it out in spades. And then I came across this curious observation which begins to make no actual sense. Actually, it makes a lot of sense being senseless. Is that an oxymoron? Anyway, American neo-Nazis refocus on American issues and away from Ukraine. It is recalled that at the start of Russian special military operations, the Department of Homeland Security issued an intelligence bulletin stating that American far-right supporters were heading toward the conflict zone and could use it to hone their terroristic skills, bringing it back to the United States. Now, this is a key thing I've been telling you about. Don't go there with Texas and any of that. That's what they're looking for. That's what this thing is set up to do. Department of Homeland Security wanted to get their nose right in there really quick. So watch how this plays out. This is being read here in a South Front article. After appealing for international volunteers with the encouragement of Western media, the Ukrainian military attracted almost 20,000 people worldwide, as reported by The Guardian. Within weeks, the American Boogaloo Boys, as supporters of the right, far-right anti-government movement are called, were arriving in Ukraine. Now, why, as I'm reading this stuff, my mind's kind of going crazy just reading through this. Why were professed neo-Nazis described as Jew-hating, inspired by Jews, it is said, to go to Ukraine to fight and possibly die for a Jewish president, and it never occurred to them that it's inconsistent with that, violates their own entire ideology? Oxymoron? Heavy on the moron here? Where's the integrity? See, this is why you got to be careful. Don't follow this stuff. Is this another government op? It almost has to be. Is it why the government predicts future problems as the FBI does? Again, as we can see over and over. Are people that mind controlled to do this? And I have to wonder, yeah, they might be are. Well, either way here, or both, all these people refocus on America. Things don't bode well when they do that. You know, so we have to be cognizant. This is real goofy stuff. And I'm not talking about Disney. Cartoons maybe, but not Disney. Whatever you believe here, folks, don't be a cartoon. As I pointed out here, the cartoons of the world want to two-state solution to cover the United Nations fraud in recognizing the Zionist Federation movement as the state of Israel. That the law and agreements that are supposed to be enforced, even extorted and coerced, if we can look at it that way, as I've explained, still require Palestinian self-determination, not foreign territorial occupation and imposition today. Palestinians' self-determination is to be able to speak. And now this article coming on is some heavy international law if you read through it. Hamas leaders rule out two-state solution. Now, with all the two-state solution suggestions and promotion, I've been telling you that they have nobody has the right to suggest it. The Palestinians step up and tell you they're going to rule that out. Khaled Mashal has insisted the Palestinians won't recognize Israel and that their nation will extend from the river to the sea. Senior Hamas official Khaled Mashal has rejected calls for the negotiation of a two-state peace deal with Israel to end the war in Gaza, proclaiming that the Palestinian people will never legitimize the Zionist entity in West Jerusalem by accepting its existence. Like I said, this is heavy international law. You have to understand what they're saying. These guys are right. They do not have Alzheimer's, I can tell you that. They're also not brainless AI. This is an interesting response. They finally came up with it, and I'm glad to see it's highly technical if you read between the lines. He says, "We have nothing to do with the two-state solution," Mashal said on an interview posted on Tuesday by Kuwaiti podcaster Amar Taqi. "We reject this notion because it means you would get a promise for a state, yet you are required to recognize the legitimacy of the other state, which is the Zionist entity. This is unacceptable. I believe the October 7th has enhanced this conviction, has narrowed the disagreements, and has turned the idea of liberating Palestine from the river to the sea into a realistic idea that has already begun," Mashal said. "It is not something to be merely expected or hoped for. It is part of the plan, part of the agenda, and we are standing on its threshold, Allah willing. Mashal made his comments as U.S. President Joe Biden and other proponents of a two-state solution stepped up pressure on Israeli leaders to seek a negotiated peace deal with Palestinians. Let me throw in Trump. Trump fomented this as well. So, again, I'm not partial to all these guys. Like I said, there's a real problems here and there. Wherever we look, we can just look, and it reflects right back to us. And Mashal is among several billionaire leaders of Hamas who live in Qatar. Much noise has been made about the billionaires. And, yeah, it doesn't look good. And, yeah, maybe they're corrupt like everybody. And maybe they are. We can see some of that going on. But just because they're a billionaire like a leader like Trump. So billionaire leaders aside, he noted that amid the war in Gaza, the slogan "From River to the Sea" has been chanted by pro-Palestinian protesters in major Western cities. He added that Hamas has never intended to merely rule Gaza under Israeli occupation. Rather, its governance has necessarily to build that up, the resistance to it. So, this is what I've been telling you, right in international law, what they have the right to do, what this is about. It's never been about Gaza. It's about Palestine. That's what the agreements are. He goes on to say, it provided a political and administrative cover in all means, the weapons productions, the planning, the training, and the tunnels, while our backs were safe, Michelle said. So tactically and strategically, right on here. And I'd like to remind my listener, under international law, the Palestinian people have a right to resist, while the Zionist Federation Movement occupying force has no right of self-defense and no right to attack and are causing the Palestinians to resisting, as declared by Mashal, is prima facie violation of international law, not Mashal's statement that he had to make it. And my listener doesn't need to wait for the UN criminal conspirators' denial of all this, or through omission under mere color, i.e. the non-existence of a legitimate power. Those trying to impose a two-state solution to know that it is a violation of international law and agreements and a war crime, even genocide aside. All these folks know about this. This is not just... Anyway, Hamas came out and did a good, interesting statement. They're telling us that the whole thing over there with Israel is wrong. The whole thing with Gaza is wrong. Completely. And I have to agree. All you got to do is get the black and white. Just go to the black and white. You don't have to... Just go in there with an open mind to look and read and understand. And you'll see exactly. And remember here, we're dealing with the UN, so any solution emanating from the UN is really more an outcome of a usurper who wants to destroy a people and a territory. And you haven't heard me say anything different than that in the United States about these solutions that go on, these goals, how they do it, how they commit this inside collaboration and cooperation. This is no different than the myriad solutions agreed to in the United States as long as a long-time cancer has been transforming this place, this republic here that we were supposed to keep. It was the duty of the people to keep it, and to keep it from being Sovietized into a technocratic direct democracy, digital panopticon, that it's quickly becoming without a peep. And I've been railing on this and advocating against this and to get active against this for a long time, and it's right here in the news. It's right in the Hamas thing, right in God, right in Israel, right in the UN, right in the Security Council, right in Russia. It's global, this thing, this other cancer. And so, for people who won't make a peep, or those that are dead, we can read that nearly 5,000 Brits froze to death last year due to heating costs. But don't ever forget here, we're dealing in these usurpers, these UN types, these sustainability people that they want population reduction. So this is like, they smile, they smile while they read this stuff. But many vulnerable households refrain from using heating due to the high cost of energy, according to the UN. The Fuel Poverty Coalition. Meanwhile, a study by the Warm This Winter campaign notes that excess winter deaths climb when the temperature in the UK drops below 4 degrees Celsius. I guess I just took note of that. Never heard that before. 4 degrees Celsius. When you have that kind of environment, maybe you should look around. People might need some help. Just anywhere. According to Simon Francis, coordinator of the End Fuel Poverty Coalition, as many as 8.3 million adults in the UK are living in poorly insulated, cold, damp homes as the temperatures drop. Conditions go from being uncomfortable to downright dangerous. And I don't think the king suffers this at all. But while household struggle ministers are sitting on their hands and leaving matters of life and death to chance, instead of taking action on energy bills, they have allowed energy firms to restart using courts to force or hold households onto prepayment meters and have now ruled out reform to energy tariffs to help those the most in need. So this, you see, this is general, but the Brits, I've been finding some stories weekly now that the Brits are suffering underneath this. They're like almost the poster children for the future they want against all of us. And think about it. I haven't been doing it again. I'm just going to say, just in the middle somewhere of this broadcast, this is the BTW RLM 561. For those of you in the middle, going through the hour and want to find reference if you don't have didn't hear it in the beginning and you're on a player somewhere that's being played, being distributed, then that, there it is. I'll just keep moving here. Hopefully that helped somebody get to the heart of the broadcast and maybe more of the research and maybe to the links quicker. But we're over in the Brits. Now we'll go back over the boiling pond, and we find scores of frigid conditions ravaged the U.S. as well. Scores dead as frigid conditions ravaged the U.S. Weather-related fatalities have been reported in at least 9 U.S. states in recent days. At least 89 people have died in weather-related incidents across the United States in recent days, and report dangerous cold conditions continue to impact various parts of the country. Tens of millions of people across the U.S. once again faced bitterly cold conditions this weekend as the blast of frigid Arctic air traveled southward from Canada. So, is this a global warming attack by Trudeau regime from Kanukistan against Americans? Is what I wanted to read and see in that. Is that what's going on? Trudeau's attacking the United States through global warming snow fronts? Maybe Greta can tell us. And speaking of vile governments of Kanukistan, did you all hear, very interesting thing, court rules Trudeau freezing civil liberties protesters' bank accounts violated Canada's charter. No global warming there either. In February 2022, amid the cross-country truck convoy civil liberties protests in Ottawa against COVID-19 precautions and vaccine mandates, Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister, made an overreaching decision. He invoked the Emergencies Act as a response to the challenge to his overarching policies in a widespread attempt to silence and crush his critics. Under the Emergencies Act, Trudeau and his finance minister, Chrystia Freeland, another Nazi it seems, froze the bank, global warming folks, froze that bank account of protesters and their supporters in one of the biggest attacks on free speech and civil liberties that Canada has seen in recent times. Well, I haven't heard known of a bigger one. However, the federal court has now ruled that the Trudeau-led Liberal government overreached its powers. Their act was declared unreasonable, unjustified, and violating the charter in a verdict republished recently on Tuesday. I would have to say, I think it even said it was draconian, I think I read. But Federal Court Justice Richard Mosley concluding that the decision to issue the proclamation of the Emergencies Act does not bear the hallmarks of reasonableness, justification, transparency, and intelligibility, and was not justified. Deputy Prime Minister Chrystia Freeland commented, however, on Mosley's decision by asserting the CYA, their belief that the public safety and national security, which include economic security, were under threat. I was convinced at the time it was the right thing to do, it was the necessary thing to do, she said. But it was wrong, and dead wrong, and I just say this is still injustice. This should have been stopped before it got started. Just for you folks up in Kanukistan, don't let this get this far down the road again. And congratulations to those folks. I hope there's more behind this. I hope they get their more justice in getting their lives back. And the problem here is they're going to have an appeal. I guess you're going to find out whether or not your federal government courts are going to hold this up. But we'll see. It is the right thing that they did there. And we'll just see how it holds up. Speaking of mentally ill, these people, it was the right thing to do. We're going to freeze you out, but there's a global warming. Mental health sick days increase in EU state. Finland paid out €900 million to workers who took sick leave in 2023, government data has shown. More than 100,000 people in Finland received extended sick leave from their employers due to the mental health concerns in 2023. According to the Social Insurance Institution of Finland, Kela, the government agency said in a press release that it was the most common reason for illness-related work absences last year. Mental health disorders, such as anxiety or depression, have become the single most common reason for illness-related absences, Kela said, adding that its data showed that an upward trend of since 2016, which includes a 3% rise in mental health work absences in 2023 compared to the prior year. In 2023, the agencies issued payments to approximately 4,000 diagnosed with COVID-19 who were subsequently unable to work. In 2022, some 18,000 people claimed the same benefits. Blomgren added that the impact of COVID-19 on Finnish society was not as significantly visible as it had been in the previous years. So while sickness attributed to great COVID swindle in preparation for the next disease X, like Twitter, I suppose, more mental health issues are occurring despite a professed decrease in something that never occurred and subsequent to the jab attack at Warp Speed, the illnesses from which are evidenced in the article, the numbers of the silent sufferers, those toughing out their symptoms, or too embarrassed to disclose them, is unknown here as well. This is a very interesting study of these mental health, and remember, maybe AI and the Pentagon will get involved to cure you, to help those suicidal victims. They're just such a benefit to everybody in the world, aren't they? And if not here, the mentally ill. What of this? Do either of these candidates know the government of the United States of America was established pursuant to a constitutional republic and not a democracy? As I keep pointing out, all these folks that are running don't seem to know what they're doing, even though people like them. And I don't understand that. I guess you could like somebody, but, I mean, support them to cause your demise. Amazing. Trump put in the Warp Speed, remember? So, American democracy in danger, this article says. Trump says this. Joe Biden's incapacity for the United States presidency is a risk to America's democracy, his political rival has argued. The ex-president believes his successor's alleged incompetence is a major threat to the country's political system. But after being accused earlier this month by Biden of being willing to sacrifice democracy, the former U.S. president turned the tables on his political rival, saying that Biden's incapacity on the job is clear and present danger to the United States. I think the Supreme Court gave Texas the answer in a democracy, but we live in a constitutional republic, and they may have given that up when Texas was a republic, when they had to capitulate to the United States military in Lincolnization times, till now. So, does nobody know that we are in a constitutional republic and not a democracy? So what I see, the cheerleaders of each candidate here don't know the difference. And they vote for officers of a non-existent government establishment when both party candidates reference a democracy. They are declaring themselves part of a uniparty of a non-existent thing. Quote here, he says, he is a threat to democracy, Trump said. He's comments delivered under a giant sign reading, Biden attacks democracy. So they're both agreeing that it's in a democracy in a place that doesn't exist, folks. I mean, this is the thing about, if you don't understand that, then you might rail against and think it's wrong what the Supreme Court might have done. I don't know their answer. I don't see that they gave one. The point is that I think that is the answer. They've made a democracy. It's a military districting. They don't really have a demo. They just get you to vote so that you think you're doing something that keeps the natives from getting riled up in their occupation. But it was a constitutional republic. And so neither of these candidates will acknowledge that. And you saw both candidates destroying this place, even though maybe Trump is the way lesser evil compared to what's going on. It's still not right. It's still not really intelligent. It's a promotion. It's still to get someone to cheerlead, get on their team. So how is it that either political party is a threat to a non-existent government democracy when they both agree and defend that it is, but it doesn't exist? So maybe sacrificing democracy in favor of lawful constitutional republic establishment needs to be done, finally, to take the corruption away from these politically occupying charlatans, as you might have to be able, and be able to do through this Texas thing if you apply, if you set the course just right. So the question here becomes, when the people don't realize they're already participating in a future international direct democracy, the they want, having failed to maintain the republic, how are you going to do that? And who are then the morons in all of this? And I know I just insulted a couple of you, but stay tuned, folks. I'm trying to move this along. Admit to our weakness and come out with the strength of all that, and from don't use that as the weakness that they want to impose on us. And here are these morons around everywhere, it seems. Any moron includes international ones, as we read, Big Brother watching EU cracks down on cash transactions. The bloc is broadening anti-money laundering measures to include cryptocurrency, luxury goods, and football, of all things. The accord, reached through negotiations among member states of the European Parliament this week, seeks to protect citizens and the EU financial system from illicit financial activities. However, the proposed legislation raises privacy concerns and fears of estate surveillance and government control over how people spend their money, and as well as potential abuses of the new power. Again, direct democracy is direct control, folks. I don't know how to get around that. It's a democracy, folks. I hope you're getting the euphemisms here on how they've been doing this to us. So what are they talking about with mere concerns on this? The morons do as morons are, and there is a way, moron way around that, but more of that later. In the meantime, just develop a gold and silver coin medium of exchange and be done with the pretentious morons internationally and locally to you, your domestic laws. They keep foisting this on us, and they don't want you to have cash, then fine. Get your own medium and transfer property. That's gold. That's silver. That's someone's labor evidence. It's weight and measure. Just what the Constitution says. You want to get back to the organic nature? Start running it. Start insisting on it. And be happy, folks. Some of you think that this digital gulag transformation is not happening. And I just, you can see it, but you don't really think it's right. But you think it's only going to occur when you live in a particular designated smart community? Is that what we're looking for? We need more physicality to see it's happening? Do you actually think a 15-minute or less city has to be physical, though, folks? As I said, the occupier puts in a condition that you don't recognize you're in occupation. Does a fish know it lives in water? I don't know. I've never asked a fish. But no, they know when they come out of the water. And so, refugees leaving German state over new cash rules. Now we talk about refugees, German state, Ukrainians. Am I talking about that? No. I want you to think about this and what the future that they want and how this will apply. Asylum seekers in Thuringia, cool name, Thuringia, can only receive and make payments in their assigned region. Under rules introduced in December last year, asylum claimants are issued with prepaid payment cards instead of cash handouts as a means of preventing them from abusing the system and taking money out of the state. You know, this is all about abusing their system because you're taking their benefit. They want to protect themselves. It's almost reasonable. Okay, so that's just a clue on what you need to do. And some of these people are going to come up with the right answer for them, but it's tough. That answer is tough. So no one will be able to take the money out of the no cash fiat state, they're saying. So what about taking the fiat token outside of your assigned 15-minute or less mapped area? That's in the article. The card is only created if the claimant appears in person at a local office and remains in their assigned district. Shopping is allowed wherever MasterCard is accepted, but the card only works in the region specified by a personalization map. Who has your MasterCard, my obedient token citizen listener? Is my critical thinking listener going to be an asylum-seeking refugee of the Constitutional Republic the people didn't keep? Though being their duty and obligation to keep? and only their duty and obligation, not that of their master occupier? You think that there's a sanctuary in local government? You know, we'll read here in that article. It's all in this article. It's kind of neat. This stuff is really kind of fascinating to watch. They're just telling us everything, if we pay attention. They say here, quote, what the federal and state governments cannot do, the strong local communities do, said, quoted by Build. So, don't forget that the great Kobe swindled the election of local duty by the health officials here. Remember? I was pointing this out. Oh, yeah. Did you get the synthetic beef from Israel or cultured chicken from Singapore in the store? Because the local rancher now, if existent, is not authorized to take the card in the cashless society where there is no cash, and you can only pay in the region or to the party that has the permission to receive it. You carbon criminal. You getting how this works, folks? The news out, the international news is telling us all kinds of stuff. It's out there to tell us exactly how it's starting to work. You won't even have to know it. You just adopt it into your lifestyle. MasterCard? Regions? You think you need a physical 15-minute city? No. You will go where you have to buy your food, where you have to buy your things. And so this is the other, again, I told you it's economic control. Agenda 2030 tells us all that. It's perpetual debt, indebtedness. And so your inclusive digital plantation here is already planned and being promoted, again, at the WEF. Netherlands Queen Maxima pushes for global digital ID systems for financial access, vaccine verification, and more, folks. And more, folks. The Dutch Queen Maxima utilized her platform during the World Economic Forum in Davos to advocate for the far-reaching benefits of the digital ID for various sectors. Queen Maxima highlighted that the digital ID would become a critical instrument capable of determining vaccination statuses, facilitating school registrations, and simplifying the process of claiming government subsidies. Your universal basic income, maybe, folks? Your wages at all? You wage slave? Digitized. There has been a growing push by various global elites, including governments, tech companies, and international organizations toward the adoption of a digital identity systems. This shift is often presented as a means to increase efficiency and security, but few talk about the major implications for surveillance and the erosion of civil liberties. Not civil rights, civil liberties. So efficiency and security for the occupiers, folks, is how that works. We go on to read, the Dutch monarch emphasized the relevance of digital ID for expanding financial systems. During a panel called Comparing Notes on Financial Inclusion, she expressed her earlier concern about rarity of the universal ID system, particularly in the regions like Latin America and Africa. Quote, we've really worked with all our partners to actually help grow this, and the interesting part of it is that, yes, it is very necessary for financial services, but not only. It's very necessary, folks, is the Achilles heel. Just don't do that. Work hard to maintain your alternative system. Africa is being used as a testing ground for several digital ID projects. Of course, Queen Maxima also said that the digital ID systems would be useful to act as a vaccine passport. Quote, it is also good for school enrollment. It is also good for health. Who actually got a vaccination or not? It's very good, actually, to get your subsidies from the government, she said. With her role as United Nations Secretary General Special Advocate for Inclusive Finance for Development, Queen Maxima has been a key figure in driving the digital ID paradigm shift. This trend also applies to vaccine passports, a form of digital ID that the WEF says are essential part of your future. So, this is for finance for development, not yours, for their systems development, capacity building. They envisioned that this digital ID would be linked to diverse aspects such as financial services. How many times are they going to repeat that to let you know this is all about your master-slave debtor relationship? It's about economy. The president said, it's the economy, stupid. They weren't joking. So such as financial services, healthcare records, mobility, travel, and digital governance. UN inclusion, folks. No one left behind. For financial services, digital governance, folks. For the foreign occupiers, efficient security of the token citizen. It's necessary, folks. Listen to all they're telling us here. Can't you help Maxima control? Can't you be the queen of your control? No. You're going to say no. My listeners are saying no. If no, you've identified your control. And the Achilles heel here that I've said. Of all the they withholding consent and not being silent about the consent you withhold. Remember, as I've been saying on my broadcaster, the victory in the silent war against us is our silence. Being free is not a spectator sport as the adversary inches toward their goal, such as sustainability goals, efficiently securing you to endless disease and perpetual debt through prosperity brought by shared responsibility, maximally forced by your MasterCard, comrade. For those enjoying the ship of state admiralty analog, your citizenship MasterCard, swabby. See, we learn all these subject matters, but we don't understand and put it in practice. And I've said, even if you're in your admiralty, you can use defenses. There's quite great ones, actually. But we're not going to. We're just going to say how much we all know, and we're going to let these guys do what they're going to do here. Again, Texas is an interesting thing. Don't let it go off the rail there, either. Don't step outside. Don't that surfboard, your surfboard, don't step offside that. There's a shark waiting to bite your foot. So stay on point on that. But then here, don't think that the merely maximum monarchian Wefian policy here, it's over there, as I keep saying, it's reflected here. The TSA plans to big digital push in 2024. The U.S. leading transportation security organization, the Transportation Security Administration, TSA, is taking a significant step towards making more digital future, and of course that means more surveillance and tracking. The plan is that by the end of 2024, many of their operational objectives will encompass a digital identity component, a move that suggests an enduring commitment towards streamlining traveler experiences with technology, even though it undermines privacy. In a four-part action plan released by the TSA, the agency plans to extend its mobile driver's license initiative to more widely utilized facial recognition technology in airports. This includes upscaling their current pilot program testing digital identities and mobile licenses used at TSA checkpoints to at least 9 states. It follows a previous announcement in May that disclosed the TSA's examination of the potential for digital license and ID implementations across 25 domestic airports. I've reported on all this coming. Here it is. They're now bringing it out. They said they wouldn't, but they are here. And so soon, if not already, being used across the nation by occupational post-founding father Lincolnized district police forces, it seems to me, a national database, including the continuity of government real ID. It's the only way they're going to get this here from those states, from which the target future victims and eventual token citizens are going to be pulled, as I have read in previous episodes, on and on, when this became more popular to understand. But remember, relative to those facial recognitions, wrongful arrest raises another alarm. Invasive facial recognition technology flaws exposed in $10 million suit. Harvey Eugene Murphy Jr., a 61-year-old man, is launching a legal battle against Macy's and ExxonMobil Sunglass Hut's company, parent company, alleging that the misidentification by facial recognition technology led to his unlawful arrest. Murphy's lawsuit asserts that owing to a flawed criminal identification by a low-quality camera image, he spent days unjustly incarcerated where he underwent horrific physical and sexual violence. According to the Guardian report, after experiencing wrongful imprisonment in the local county jail and later being transferred to Harris County Jail, his charges were dropped as his alibi was certified by his defense attorney and prosecutor. Nevertheless, the alleged horrifying physical and sexual assault he underwent hours before his release in the jail left him severely traumatized. Daniel Dutko, his attorney, discovered that footage collected by the Sunglass Hut employee was shared with Macy's, and it was their staff that identified Murphy. Dutko insists that facial recognition software is the sole explanation for Murphy's false identification. The use of facial recognition technology by corporations in cooperation with law enforcement, as seen in Murphy's case, also raises significant privacy concerns. The idea that an individual can be tracked, identified, and potentially criminalized based on surveillance footage underscores a worrying trend towards a surveillance state. As I said, they can make stuff up, folks, and they do. So TSA is going to use facial recognition technology, which is error-prone in a state of presumed guilt in the digital gulag, if you start putting this together, because we've been quiet. And what are the technocrats going to do with all the power, the track and trace, the token citizen protect and serve government benefits really, really conveniently? Let us toss word salad over the pond and see. In UK, communications regulator forms 350-person team to enforce UK's new online censorship law. The team includes new hires from senior big tech staff. Big legacy media outlets are now reporting about the law, and that the Ofcom hiring policy that has just come to light, they like to focus on just the part of the Online Safety Act that its creators say is there for the sake of the children. The authorities in the UK are, quote, thinking of the children, but really, online censorship, say critics, and in doing so, thanks to Online Safety Act, are dipping their toes into long since established in the U.S. revolving door policy. The act and nebulous terms like legal but harmful content that must be suppressed is one of the provisions forcing messaging apps to scan user content, with child sexual abuse always first mentioned as the target, but not the only one, means a serious threat to encryption and therefore online safety of everyone, including children. In the UK, there is evidence of this flow going in one direction, from big tech corporations to government jobs, public-private partnerships. Legal but harmful, folks. Listen carefully. Subject to the bureaucrat, prejudicial determinations and subject to enforcement, including reprogramming at a government re-education camp here coming. And I need to ask, do you really want that world? Because it's here, and we get this in another story, real quick, came up, on the same time again. I mean, it really is kind of fascinating to watch these stories come together. Re-education bureaucrats for the learned in the notice here that Jordan Peterson pushes back against mandated re-education training over social media posts. He says, you've been warned. But we need to look at this a little bit. And I don't know if he's thinking too clearly about some of this, but we'll see. I mean, he's an intelligent guy. Peterson's free. I don't like part of what he does. He helped the UN as well. So we got some of that underneath the problem here. But anyway, this is a different issue. Peterson's free speech legal challenge failed his appeal, aimed to countermand the Ontario Divisional Court's decree, was rejected by the Ontario Court of Appeals panel. The court had previously authorized the psychologist's organization to impose social media training on Peterson last year in August. The decree placed not just an administrative burden to undergo re-education training on Peterson, but a financial one too, as the Ontario Superior Court of Justice billed him $25,000 in favor of the College of Psychologists. Following the denial of his legal appeal, prominent psychologist Dr. Jordan B. Peterson launched a vigorous public response in Kanukistan this week. His appeal contested mandatory social media training imposed by the College of Psychologists of Ontario. Peterson is now being mandated to participate in an educational programming as a punishment for his online speech. The psychologist's defiance against Ontario College's directive had not just threatened the potential loss of his professional accreditation, but consequently led to his attempt to led to its attempt to re-educate him. In a response shared on social media X, and undeterred, Peterson announced, quote, "A higher court in Canada has ruled that the Ontario College of Psychologists indeed has the right to sentence me to re-education camp. There are no legal avenues open to me now." He continued, maintaining his professional independence and unwillingness to lose, quote, "its capitulate to the petty bureaucrats and the addle-pated woke mob or lose my license." His further comments contained a stern yet confident warning, quote, "Mark my words, however, the war has barely started. There is nothing you can take from me that I'm not unwilling to lose. So watch out. Seriously, you've been warned." And I read that, and I've my history and my experience of watching. I wonder if his wife and kids know about this, that nothing you can take from me that I am unwilling to lose. Meanwhile, no bullishing sounding here. The opinions may certainly differ here, and I think it would be better for Peterson not to wave a red flag warning in front of a bull. He is, however, learned, it seems, apparently not aware that in his little hamlet stead, the only free speech allowed in this condition is just enough speech to hoist oneself with their own petard. Understand he's a licensee. See, besides as a state licensee, he is not perfectly, but by way of example here, similarly only having the rights he is gave as a tenant, let's say, of a subdivision under obligation of a homeowners association. In this case, as a state agent licensee, he no longer has rights to its own morals or ethics. That's what that test he takes to get there is about. So while he's in the predicament of his own choice and making, like anyone who didn't actually understand the trap, professing to keep his professional calling, maybe there's a better option inside the belly of the oppressive beast to further expose its putrid guts to the world here while they try to re-educate him. And my first concern when it appears, you know, someone is out of their element, he stated prior, he may not have considered his family as something that is vulnerable to other of the king's authoritarian and psychopathic animals, which he might, those wife and children, he may not want to lose to those. I think, and my thought is, if he had no other option, maybe it's best he get inside and just start exposing it. Don't bring more vulnerability to him. I guess that's his decision. Government re-education through public-private reprogramming behavior, just as you've been told here, folks. I've been just telling you it was coming, but here we have another story. BMJ reports recommends behavioral interventions to reduce vaccine hesitancy driven by misinformation on social media. These interventions include boosting the visibility of the reliable health information, and social media companies become more proactive in dealing with a proliferation of misinformation on their sites. And I started earlier in the broadcast saying one of my broadcasts wasn't talking about COVID, it wasn't talking about vaccines, it was talking about your legal remedies, the legal consequences to not fighting. They are not. There's no context within all this. But the BMJ is not short for Behavioral Medical Journal, but it might be as well. Now this publication owned by the British Medical Association is exploring how to deploy no less than behavioral interventions to bring about less vaccine hesitancy, if you thought reprogramming, re-education wasn't a thing, and only in China. No, it's been part of the technocratic future that they want. This article doesn't stop at medical arguments. It has a hesitancy here is specifically linked to the social media-driven misinformation. The recommendations don't differ greatly from what those big tech social subsidiaries have been including for years in their policies, and these, quote, guidelines were probably cooked in the same kitchen, so to speak. Yeah, we listened across the pond at Peterson. But now for solutions, specifically those based on behavioral intervention methods, or let's say reprogramming. Here's what BMJ says are standard behavioral approaches encouraging vaccination by including mandatory vaccination and regulation for healthcare professionals, incentives, public health communications campaigns, and engaging trusted leaders. And this is just a sustainable development goals 101 right here. Don't feel bad if the term orchestrated campaign occurs to you as you read the BMJ mentioning pre-bunking information as one of the ways to deal with the problem of its own making. Pre-bunking enthusiasts are now cropping up all over the place. You understand that? We're just thinking this through. And so we know now, if we haven't all this time since, that pre-bunking is not only prejudicial, it's unaccountable criminal obstruction tending to mass irreparable harm by people without any authority, and especially heinous, anyone using the color of some authority without actual power by the certain due process protection provided in law, such as your local communicable disease law. You have a place to go, and these guys don't care that it's there. That's why partly I said you need to go there, because they aren't going to be looking at it. It's going to be a blind side to them. So how all this truthfulness, misinformation, correcting the misinformation, so how is all this truthfulness going to play out when you find out the authorita is wrong? The article CDC labeled accurate articles of misinformation documents show. This is not a government working for the people. It is a government of adversary to the people, one expert says. The top U.S. public health agency labeled multiple news articles as misinformation, even though the articles were accurate, according to internal emails and experts. Remember, the CDC is a global agency now, not just domestic to the United States. The United States Centers of Disease Control and Prevention added that the misinformation labels to articles were from the Epoch Times. I know they say it's epic. Epoch Times is widely circulated internal messages according to copies obtained by the Epoch Times. One of the articles reported as a peer-reviewed paper that found heart inflammation and myocarditis was more common after COVID-19 vaccination than after COVID-19 infection. Boy, those two words are loaded, aren't they? There is no vaccination, and it was an injection, not an infection. I guess you get infected by it, but it's injected. Warp speed. Nordic research. Protein, lipid protein, venom. Nordic researchers reviewed electronic health records and counted 109 cases of myocarditis following COVID-19 infection compared to 530 after vaccination. Their study was published in the British Medical Journal, the one that wants to reprogram y'all. An internal CDC email said that the study has, quote, been picked up by anti-vax proponents as evidence that the vax was more likely to cause myocarditis than COVID infection, and provided a hyperlink to Epoch Times article. The CDC did not list any data of or other information supporting this label. Quote, the Epoch Times article should not be labeled as a misinformation, Dr. Tracy Hoag, a physician scientist at the University of California, San Francisco, told Epoch Times. How many episodes behind the witch had been removed without any warrant, where everything one hears behind the witch is backed up by objective facts and relies on law? See, this disinformation censure operatives are causing death and irreparable harms, and they need to go live on that daily submersible island I've been talking about in the South China Sea, to go live with those other Nazi Zionista psychopaths away from everywhere else in the world. Everyone needs to be free from these people. The people who are supposed to be doing the judging about misinformation are absolutely wrong. We've known that. There's now proof coming. People have to step up, like nothing different, no different than the border. Step up with this information, these proofs in the black and white, and denounce or expose the lack of actual authority. And this, I told you, the sustainable goals is about behavior control. So reprogramming, government reprogramming, government re-education. It's not just a Chinese thing, right? It's now become the thing of the West. The goal is reprogramming behavior before you even know you're going to do anything on this. And we see this right in this next story. Somehow pre-bunking becomes an issue this week. Kind of caught my eye, so I started picking this stuff up as it went through. It said, oh, there's another story being told by these guys. A notice to us. EU's Vera Jourova brags about pre-bunking and using law enforcement to target conspiracy theories. Speech pre-crime, folks. Pre-bunking information, pre-crime, etc. It all could easily spell out post-democracy, the observers critically of the trend keep saying. None of their arguments, however, seem to be reaching affecting the top EU bureaucrats. Vera Jourova, a vice president of the European Commission for none other than the values and transparency being one of them. Vera's in Davos this week, where else, and has been telling World Economic Forum panel about things like developing law enforcement to deal with conspiracy theories, pre-bunking information considered as disinformation, and censorship of that, but also hate speech, and then on top of it off, to top it off, about her alleged love of freedom of speech. Perova quickly explained means mainly fact-checking and what she was talking about, and she added, we have all the big tech under the commitment of the code of practice against information. Then she arrived at pre-bunking. According to Hurova, it means forcing the raising of awareness, and at the same time lowering the absorption capacity in society to believe the lies. I just feed them fluoride. Okay, they got to do it technocratically, I guess. But very interesting wording, especially going from the usual lower absorption to lowering the capacity for it. And then pre-bunking is usually defined as a preemptive measure. Vera used the word predictive so as to discredit an account or misinformation and refute information even before it gets disseminated. But remember, conspiracy theories may not be illegal, and a theory is to be proven, and a conspiracy is not illegal. So I don't know where they get the problem anyway, but a fairly convoluted censorship game going on here, as there usually is. Hurova, who is Czech, referred to, quote, living half her life in an authoritarian regime in reference to the Cold War. Judging by the policies she is promoting, she is sadly determined to spend the rest of it the same way. It's the Soviet, folks. The neo-Soviet is what we're looking at. This is a mental case suffering the Stockholm Syndrome in the minimum, I think, and wants you to enjoy that too, as it seems. The observation is that that's not an observation for me that's hateful. It's a call for her to get help, and outside of the other psychologically harmed in the sustainable technocratic cult, which Jordan Peterson's going to be reeducated into, even though he promoted it before, he's stepped out and they want him back. It's going to be interesting to watch that. So what about doing something about false content? Czech Republic's Jan Lipavsky calls for the global solution here again against false content at the World Economic Forum. They're making a big push again, right? So maybe the WEF should come clean and denounce the CDC's false content that WEF and the WHO, World Health Organization, pushed that murdered people globally here, folks. In this story, you get the link and read it. The criminal interest is what comes to bear of these people. They get first priority. You kind of see that playing out in Texas. And the way to counter that was to bring the law that has to be now observed by everybody. And I hope you've heard a consistency. I hope you hear this is a real thing. There's lots of people that want to bring in, Sovietize you. It has nothing to do with Russia. It has to do with the way that you're going to be controlled and who the masters are, who's playing the games, and how you can see them, too. You, too, can see them. And you see by Texas example, you have to get out and do something. I'm asking that it stay intelligent, go to lead out of the pencil instead of the barrel of the gun for a long way. You don't have to go to the arms. That's going to be your last option. They're waiting for that. They're waiting for you to destroy this place by secession. Don't do that. Unify. Mutually protect each other. Love one another. If something I've said helped, I'm going to be happy. Remember, donate if you can, what you can. Appreciate it. Get on the website, find the support RLM button. Big time. We got to get this funds in here in the last week or two. So if you can, move as quick as you can. And I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips or Nature Willing.
Another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.